Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
If there was 1,200 people that died in the early tests, then the question is, was that information briefed to the president? If not, how is it that that wasn't briefed to the president? These are really important components to start looking at how our system is supposed to work versus how it does work. VAERS data is supposed to, by Congress, be briefed to the president on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis, based on an emergency use authorization. And yet, apparently it has not. So there's a culpability and accountability of those around the president that has to be looked at very seriously from a criminal point of view as well in all of this.
Hey friends, that was Scott Kesterson from Bards FM. It's the first time we've ever had a conversation, and I assure you, it will not be the last. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best US-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real live human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey friends, thank you so very, very much for tuning in. Welcome back. It's Sean from SGTReport.com and SGTReport.tv. I'm a little nervous here today. We have a new guest, somebody I hold in high esteem. And as it turns out, we're kindred spirits. We had a nice conversation here before I hit record. I want to welcome to the show Scott Kesterson from Bards of War. Scott spent 3.5 years in Afghanistan. He was the first citizen journalist in the DOD embed program. He worked in info warfare, so thank God now he's on our side. He released his first film, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, in January of 2019. He's the founder and owner of Expedition Cafe and Bards.fm, where you can find his podcast. You can also find it on Audible and Podbean. More than 20 million downloads to date. So glad to welcome you to the show, Scott Kesterson. How are you?
Well, Sean, thank you very much. It's a real honor to be here. I'll tell you, it's as we talked before the show, I've been following your channel since about 2014. And I'm very honest when I say I don't think there is a patriot out there that does the extent of research you do. And you've done an amazing job of leading with some very difficult issues. And it's just a big thanks and real honor to be on the show today.
Well, thank you. As I said before I hit record, flattery will get you everywhere. But no, I'm very flattered that you even know of my work, because we've never connected until now. It's the first time we've ever talked. And in fact, this is the first time I've ever seen you.
I've come out from behind my logo. You know, I'll tell you, it's funny. And I always refer to my podcast number 64, and with now over 1,000 some odd podcasts, that's a ways back. But man, I'll tell you, I tangled with the deep state, and I learned what it was like when they don't like you. And they did a great job of destroying my name. And so I used I kind of started that way, because prior to that incident, which was August 2017, I had been doing, I did about 500 live streams in about a year as we were working with the campaign and post campaign. So I kind of retooled and used, and Bards of War was that, and let that be the lead. But this last year, I really decided just to be a lot more forward. And it's just kind of my principle and of just like, look, they all know who I am anyway. They, meaning, you know, who we're talking about, and just become a little less concerned about that, and probably a little less self-conscious would be another term right there. So.
Yeah, I feel you. As we discussed before I hit record, I've given thought to coming out from behind my logo too, but I've always tried to avoid that cult of personality thing. And I've been invited to so many of these seminars or, you know, big shows, these Clay Clark deals and other people that I admire in the space. And I don't go because I just look, as I said to you before I hit record, my wife and I go out to dinner in our little town here. We've got all these wonderful restaurants. We go out 3-4 times a week, and I don't have social phobia. In fact, we like to interact with other couples that we meet at the bar or a restaurant and chat. We just had a great conversation with some folks the other night about the vaccine. They both took the vaccine and now they regret it. So we had that conversation. And but as it pertains to going to one of these events, like your big Bards Fest, somehow I think I'd feel self-conscious as the SGT personality when I would just rather just be a guy at your Bards Fest.
Now, I can get that totally. I did one of the Clay Clark events, and I think I'm going to do one more coming up. But it is a very different place. I'm very comfortable, as with you. I'm comfortable behind the mic. Now, and I do the podcast. I chose to do audio over video, which effectively, your use of it is very similar, to take my face away from it, because I wanted people to focus on content.
Yes.
And not on me. That is, it's never been about me. And I think that's a really good point you make, because it's very easy to be swept away with watching the video and not paying attention to what's being said. In that sense, radio had a big up on TV, I would say.
Yeah. And as it pertains to the truth media, the alternative news media, what is your sense of the people that are out there? Because early on, I think it was maybe easier to label people as disinfo agents or misinfo agents. But one of the things you and I both have on our side at this point is longevity. Okay, we have stuck to the message of truth and liberty and anti-New World Order, anti-force vaccination, like all of the good stuff, anti-pedophilia, anti-child sex trafficking. Let's shore up the borders to prevent a lot of that. And let's put America's sovereignty first. So what is the litmus test in your mind for defining a truth teller, somebody you can actually rely on in this space? Because we're seeing so many people, by the way, kicked off of these platforms. So maybe that's another way you know they're truth tellers, is they can't be on YouTube anymore.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you say. I think one of the biggest things is, and you've just stated it, it is the pursuit of truth, not the pursuit of personal bias. And I think this is a really important point that we have to confront right now. And I'll hit a topic that I always know triggers people, but that's just the way it is. When we're assessing President Trump as an individual and where we are, where we were, and where we're going, we have to start looking at some very hard truths and not creating stories around things that we have no evidence for. And also being careful how we link our evidence to try to build a greater story of somehow this great savior or anointed person who's come to the country. That leaves us with some pretty hard looking at things, and it puts us often on the outside of the popular view. And one of those is the topic of the vax. There is no separating the accountability that he's asked for by saying that he created the vax. He created 3 vaccines, in fact. Those are his words, not mine. And how that story in itself gets turned and twisted is to, well, he's doing that to protect his family. He's doing that to work within the cabal so they don't see him. And yet we're willing to accept a paradigm that says, this phrase has cropped up recently, Fauci lied, people died. So how did Fauci get in the position, is my point. It was President Trump that allowed him to be there. So it makes people very, very uncomfortable, because we get to a point when we're not following truth that we start to idolize or create idolatries, and it blinds us. And when you do pursue truth, many times you end up with being on the outside of the popular view, but that's part of being a truth teller. And that takes us places sometimes we don't enjoy necessarily. I think people sometimes think that you're like, oh, you enjoy disrupting things. It's like, no, we don't. I don't think that's the case at all. We just, what we're trying to find is the truth. And where we end up many times, and I'm sure you've been in the same place where you literally sit back and you shake your head. You're like, oh, this is going to suck tonight when I present this, but it has to be said because that's the commitment is truth.
Yeah, I think that's good analysis. And one thing I would say as it pertains to President Trump versus this current imposter in chief is the fact that everything he did, with the exception of Operation Warp Speed, just about everything he did when he was in the White House was for the benefit of we, the American people in this country, as far as I can tell. Is he a man that makes mistakes? Yes. Is he God reanointed? Is he Jesus Christ? No. He's a mortal human being. So as it pertains to Fauci, I'm not willing to give him a pass, certainly as it pertains to Warp Speed, but let's talk a little bit about Fauci, who has been a disease, a cancer in administration after administration. And he reminds me of, did you ever watch the show Game of Thrones on HBO?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He reminds me of Littlefinger.
No,
conniver who has been behind the scenes and kisses the correct asses in every administration, and therefore becomes a survivor with power. Until, recall the fate of Littlefinger in that show. And, you know, without mincing too many words, I wouldn't mind seeing the same fate come to Fauci.
Oh, I think that's a good one. And I do want to qualify. I mean, I'm very clear on distinguishing past performance with current situation. I mean, I think that's part of it, is we don't want to get fixated on one thing. So I'm not going to give Trump a pass on Fauci, but I constantly talk about the success and what he's given to this nation in his administration. So I do want to be very clear about that, because it's not becoming a President Trump hater by any means. I mean, frankly, Sean, I started my own super PAC. It was called Kilroy Rising. It was unaligned for under President Trump. And I spent probably $40,000 of my own money. I've been committed. It's just that the pursuit of truth leads us places. And part of what you're talking about here is, like with Fauci, this is a conundrum here. We have somebody that somehow has assumed an enormous amount of power in the presidency, in and around the presidency. And so one of the questions I think that we have to be asking is, how much power does this man really have? How did he gain it? And how did he seize control over full presidents? That's a stunning concept when you think about it, because seems to be running unabated, and there is so much power that as we're going here, we're watching this narrative evolve, which is still kind of head spinning, is that while we're putting the baggage on him, and he literally is the bag man, we're not hearing anything about Pfizer CEO, Johnson & Johnson CEO, Moderna CEO, AstraZeneca CEO. It's all Fauci, which has a big concern for me, because it's also a political sacrificial lamb. And if we put too much focus on him being the bad guy, he is the instrument of manipulation. And there's no question about that. But just like with Littlefinger, who are the powers behind him in your analogy? And while he stirs up things, there is a greater evil that sits and lurks in the shadows behind. And we have to bring that evil forward.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy you mentioned the CEO of Pfizer. His name is Albert Bourla. And I continue to call him out because he has the gall, the audacity, the nerve to say publicly that anyone that spreads what he calls vaccine mis or disinformation is a criminal that should be brought to justice. Okay. Meanwhile, the VAERS reporting database, you probably have more current numbers than I do. I was listening to your podcast, and you said 28,000 deaths in the United States alone, according to VAERS. The latest one I pulled up is through December 24th, and it says around 20,000 people dead.
Yeah, and that was January 7th was the one I pulled up the other day, and it was 28,000 plus dead, and 1,038,000 damaged by the vax. I mean, this is stunning. And keeping in mind that the Harvard study established that the reporting of VAERS was at best 10% of the actual cases, and more realistically, 1% of the reported cases. When we start to factor that in, Sean, we're talking about a damage across this culture that is, it's literally changing the entire demographic of this nation.
Yeah, it's so deeply disturbing. And when we think about the power behind the throne. Okay, so Fauci might be the most front-facing bad guy, but above him is Francis Collins, Above him is Bill Gates. Above both of them, all of them, is the FDA that wants to help Pfizer bury the data for 55 or 75 years or whatever it is. And now a federal judge has said, no, you have 8 months. You have 8 months to release the data about the vaccines. And do you think they want to do it? Do you think they want to do it? Absolutely not. Why? Because then we're going to find out what's really in this stuff, and we won't have to just rely on La Quinta Columna and other independent researchers that say this stuff is loaded with nanotech microprocessors, graphene oxide, and worse.
I fully agree. And this is one of the big things that we have to continue to pursue, is to keeping these pictures balanced. I mean, there's research is one way, and that we can go too far down that road. When we start to, and at the same time, meaning like we can generalize that everything is going to be one way or the other. But the data that Pfizer has is critical to this, to really understand what they know and what they knew going into this. I mean, the indication from Tom Renz is they knew about that there was about 1,200 people that died in the early tests. I mean, that's profound. And knowing that, and knowing that that information, we now have to follow who knew that information. And so when that is, when you start to look at that, we have to, that leads us to some very interesting, for me anyway, it leads us to some big questions. So here's one of them. I'm not putting blame anywhere here. I'm just asking the question to be very clear. If there was 1,200 people that died in the early tests, then the question is, was that information briefed to the president? If not, how is it that that wasn't briefed to the president? These are really important components to start looking at how our system is supposed to work versus how it does work. VAERS data is supposed to, by Congress, be briefed to the president on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis, based on an emergency use authorization. And yet, apparently it has not. So there's a culpability and accountability of those around the president that has to be looked at very seriously from a criminal point of view as well in all of this. So this is a truth pursuit of this. We have to start ripping back the layers of the onion and getting to the real aspect of not just what was known, but how did we end up here and what needs to be in order for us to move forward to fix it.
Yeah, and it is a pursuit of truth, and it is a criminal act. These are crimes against humanity that have taken place. And in a second, I want to show a little bit of good news. But first, you mentioned Tom Renz. Don't you find it interesting that we have so many wonderful people on our side, on the side of truth? We have attorney Tom Renz. We have attorney Todd Callender. We have people like Karen Kingston. We have people like Dr. Kerry Madej. Who else? It's a long list of people who have put their Sherry Tenpenny.
Yes.
Dr. Christiane Northrup, people that have put their necks out for truth on this thing. And how are they rewarded? Well, in many cases, by getting banned, I just recently got banned off of PayPal. So amidst all the litany of other places I've been banned from, now I can't use PayPal, which complicates my life. But that's exactly what they want. They want to complicate our lives so that we'll shut up and just go away.
Oh, absolutely. The interesting point where we are right now is, as we're talking about, and this is, again, we have to be careful of seeking the quick fix on this. So there's a lot of looking right now at the revelations that are coming out of the UK. There's some revelations that are coming out of Australia. And with this, there's this fervor that this is the great awakening. It's happening. It's all coming. Again, to be very careful about this, because on the back end, things aren't changing that much. In fact, what's happened to our public discussion about censorship? To your point, it has been quietly swept under the rug as if somehow YouTube is an okay place. I literally put up a video the other day, or a podcast on the other day. It was my faith show, which was my night show, Fishers of Men. And I mentioned one comment in that relation to scripture and masking, and the account got suspended again for a week. So I work in and out of that constantly. But the censorship issue has gotten worse. The deplatforming is becoming worse, but it's now suddenly been pushed behind the scenes as we have these shiny silver objects up here of like the Fauci trials, or at least testimonies with going on in Congress, and some of these revelations coming out of UK. The beast, if you will, and used loosely, is still working around the shadows, and it's not stopping, and it's not intending to stop. So it's going to take a harder push for truth and a greater demand of truth by patriots.
All right, I want to play a clip here in just 1 second, but first, since you mentioned YouTube, I got blocked off of Twitter too, and my question is this. In your view, is it now clear? Am I overstating it? Am I being hyperbolic to say that Twitter and YouTube and some of these other platforms are literally anti-human at this point? They're evil. They're overtly evil because they'll kick off people like you for talking about God and quoting scripture. But Lil Nas X can writhe on Satan in hell and simulate homosexual sex, and he gets full advertising and hundreds of millions of views for that video.
Sean, I think that I do agree with you, where we've moved beyond humanity. Whatever a person's belief is on that statement, this is how I ultimately come back to. When we lose empathy and we lose the respect for life, we're no longer functioning as human. And it's kind of where I draw the line. So when we're dealing with a platform that's honoring the destruction of people, the destruction of humanity, elevating up anything that has to do with murder, killing, war, but destroying anything that's dealing with faith and the pursuit of truth, where there is no humanity left in that platform. And so, yes, to a very simple answer, we are well beyond human on these platforms. By the way, I'm very proudly banned for life on Twitter with a very triggered email that was sent to me, apparently noting that at Jack was a pedophile about 100 times, didn't settle well.
Yeah, I got kicked off of Twitter too. And I miss it because it was a great place for me to get information.
Yes.
And I can still go on there, but I don't get the feeds from the people that I was following. So they've really made it useless for me at this point. And one thing I want to talk to you about, I was listening to your latest podcast, Fishers of Men, and you were quoting Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. And I'm not going to put you on the spot this second, but if you could call that up, I would like you to read a few of those verses to us, because you made the point in that podcast that this world is flipping and inverting constantly, and we all feel it. It's like we're reaching a boiling point, and never in my lifetime, and my wife says the same thing, and we're very blessed. We have income that meets our needs, and we still feel all of this anxiety that we've never felt before. I've never been a person who struggled with anxiety. But the older I get and the more I see this flipping and inverting, it's really kind of soul crushing. And I think some of the externalization of that is anxiety that people are feeling.
I think you're right. And one of the things I was discussing last night, right in there, was, which was Ephesians 4, 17 to 32, was really looking at what it's literally referred to as the Christian's walk. It is looking at the challenges that we face. And I'm happy to read some of it. If that's okay with you, it's up to you, Sean.
Yeah, no, I want you to, because a lot of times when we feel like we're getting a little lost in the woods, it helps to redirect with biblical truth. It helps to read this stuff and take it in.
I agree. So Ephesians 4, 17 begins, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness in their heart, and they having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and with greediness." Those are really unbelievably powerful words coming in scripture, because it's condemning and judging very clearly what those practices are that are leading people astray. And I think it's a great reminder to realize what we're dealing with. I was having a call just prior to this, and it's one of the things I think we forget many times is we're in a bifurcated world. It's a world now that we're working in on their terms, which is always ones and zeros, yes or no. It's all binary. And in our world, God did not create us to be binary beings. We're based on infinite. And when we start to look at the lens, and this is one of the reasons I really like this passage, is when we start to look at what's consuming the Gentiles, which is the same as it's consuming this elite today, they themselves are very weak from the point of view of being trapped in their own binary, their world of dominance and greed, their world of extraction and manipulation. There's always this sort of channeling, and it gives us a great deal of advantage in this battle space when we seek truth, because truth doesn't take us within the confines of what they're comfortable with. I think one of the other great things about this passage, jumping down to 25, is Ephesians 4:25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. God doesn't tell us not to be angry. And this is what I was discussing last night. In fact, anger is normal. We're human. It's the principles of what we do with it. Are we going to turn our anger into violence and destroy one another? Or are we going to use our anger as a fuel to build a righteous indignation, to pursue that aspect of greater truth, to reach out more boldly, to talk to our neighbors, not be deterred? But anger is okay. And we should be angry right now. I mean, that's one of the things I think is the greatest misteachings in a lot of churches, is that there is somehow this idea that you shouldn't be angry. You need to sit and get along. It's like, no, there's wrong being done in this world. If you can't see that our children are being destroyed and attacked, killed, and that at the same time our elderly are being slaughtered right before our very eyes, where is that righteous indignation that's screaming with anger going, that's enough, we're going to put our foot down? That's the sort of approach that we need to be looking at, I think, at this fight that we've been missing, that there's way too much, in part because of the fear that's been consumed around it, and in part because there's a confusion, I think, that comes a lot from the pulpit in our country in this modern day of what it is to be strong in the walk with Christ. Our founding fathers weren't weak. In fact, historians will agree, which is, as I say, and I think you would agree, one of the rare things for historians to come together off of many different angles on a central topic and agree on a historical moment is a big deal. Our historians agree that had it not been for the power of the pulpit, we would not have had the Revolutionary War. That's a profound statement, because these people were speaking out against tyranny, against the crimes that were happening at the risk of their life, truly. And this was, you were speaking out against the king.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com. It's interesting you mention that, the power of the pulpit, because what do we see today? We see some people like Franklin Graham, who's pro-vax. Go get the jab. Jesus would.
It's disgusting. And that should be when something like that happens, everyone should start digging and asking what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, I don't have facts to prove this one way or another, but I was talking to a pastor a little while ago, some time ago, someone's a very close friend. And my point was, the picture that Franklin Graham took of himself in Portland, Oregon, sitting in front of Voodoo Donuts.
Yep. I remember it.
And my first comment was, where was the discernment and the consideration? It's this, you're a leader, a supposedly voice of the Christian movement, and you're sitting in front of Voodoo Donuts, just the name alone. Now, I know a whole lot about Voodoo Donuts, a whole lot about the place across the street, which is called Dante's, a whole lot about the tunnel that goes between the two of them, the fact that there's a pizza place in Dante's. I know who runs Dante's. His name's Frank Mungian. He's also the biggest cocaine dealer in Portland. And it just so happens that Voodoo Donuts always manages to provide donuts and delivered with kids and other things to the elite parties up in the Southwest Hills. So there's a lot of skanky stuff there. So at the very least, whatever Franklin Graham was doing to give that acknowledgement, even if it was just fun being in Portland, as I said to the pastor, at the very least, I would have fired my media person on the spot. But that should open people's eyes to ask, how did you make such a careless move? It's not just a donut, it's a message. And this is where, again, we start to see that come to life when we see somebody who literally says, you know, Jesus would take the shot, which, by the way, apparently that didn't work out because he's already had a heart problem, right?
Who has? Franklin Graham?
Oh, yeah. He was in the hospital in September. He had it with heart problems.
Okay. So you think he actually took these jabs?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'll just say it this way. It's either God's hand making a very coincidental moment or they did take the jab.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I wonder how many of the people pushing this thing have actually taken it, because Albert Bourla hasn't taken it. The CEO of Pfizer has openly said he hasn't taken it because he's not at risk.
Right. And then you have as well, I've heard recently that some of the Supreme Court judges haven't taken it either. So, I mean, I agree with you. My suspicion is, and following the work by Dr. Carrie Madej, and I know her personally, and it's there seems to be that many of them may be taking these jabs, but as we've heard, there are different batch lots. So some of them are near saline completely.
Right.
Others are high concentrations of this that are intentionally designed to damage or kill. That seems to be the trend at this point. We've seen close-up footage that shows that many of these are mimicking the jab. We've seen that already with the no needles present when they do the injection. So there's no question that this they're working hard to isolate one another. How these people of some of these elite circles are passing away with, quote, consequences following a vax, I really don't know. I know that there's a good feeling concept that there's good guys working behind the scenes doing this sort of work. That may very well be the case, but I personally don't have any hard proof that that's happening. But we do see some very interesting anomalies happening before us.
Yeah, and the work of Michael Yeadon, the Pfizer whistleblower, former Pfizer chief scientist, says that when he collects all of the data about the injuries and deaths and plots them out on the XY axis, a very clear picture emerges that suggests premeditated mass murder, because the way they manufacture these things, you couldn't possibly account for 5 to 10% of the vials being 2,500 to 3,000 times more toxic than the baseline. You can't, that doesn't happen by accident.
No, it doesn't.
He calls it premeditated mass murder.
Well, I think he's dead on. You know, Sean, this is a really interesting thing you just brought up, because it's not supposed to be. These are the most brilliant minds in the world on genetic modification, gene editing. I mean, this is the most advanced science. And this is where we go back to the fourth industrial revolution, why this is so important, because one of the critical pillars of the fourth industrial revolution is CRISPR technology. Right. The editing of genes to modify for biomedical and to help bridge the line between biological and the electronic or technological. So when you consider that, these aren't accidents. These aren't simply because we did a bad lab test and we got a few vaccines out of there. These people know what this injection will do. And that's this. When you follow this rabbit hole even further, which is DARPA, and DARPA's development of the hydrogel and their involvement in the Super Soldier project. And that takes you up into the labs in the Northeast, of the DOD labs in the Northeast. They know what this stuff has been doing. They've been playing with nanotech, nanoblood. That's Google X Labs that was funded via DARPA. So none of this is new technologies. It's been around. That's why I've said I'm very suspicious of this smoking gun letter about Fauci, because in one letter, DARPA and the DOD exonerate themselves by pointing the finger at Fauci very conveniently at the same week that Project Veritas releases that, at the same week that Fauci's under their investigation. But the fact is that DARPA developed a lot of this technology. They were the ones that developed Facebook, which was part of the development of Facebook. Their own people were the ones running Twitter. They left DARPA and became members of the senior board of Twitter. So we have to get very real about what's going on here. There's an unbelievable amount of collusion. And this is why when we start to look at this, this isn't accidental. This is, in my opinion, one of the greatest lab tests ever to develop the foundation technologies for transhumanism, which is what is critical for the success of the fourth industrial revolution.
I just jotted that down in the Great Reset, because I want to talk about that in a second. But first, if we could just focus on that Ephesians line where it mentions the hardness of their heart. What do you think we're up against as it pertains to our fellow citizens, so many of them in the United States, doing a screen share here? Here's what your fellow Americans think should happen to you, Mr. Unvaccinated Person. There was a Rasmussen poll that's absolutely stunning. I'm sure that's what this article, yep, here it is. 48% of voters want a jab mandate on both employees of large companies and government agencies. 78% of the left support Biden's jab mandate. And 22% of alleged Republicans support it as well. 55% of the left endorse the notion of fines for those that won't get the experimental vax. 59% of Democrats favor house arrest for the unvaxxed. 29% of Democrats want kids taken away from parents who are unvaxxed. Again, I'm coming back to you, Scott. This is spiritual warfare, and so many people are so hopelessly deceived by the fear that's been perpetuated on the back of this entire lie, that they're willing to do things to their fellow citizens that would have been unthinkable just 3-4 short years ago.
I'm completely with you, Sean. I mean, this is, when I first started my show, I made a decision when I first started my podcast. I made a decision early on that I would bring faith into the podcast, which was a challenge for me because I've never been that forward about my faith. But I really felt called to do that. As I have gone along here, the dialogues that I have now about spiritual warfare, you would have never heard from me back in 2015, because it was more political based and politics based and information warfare based. The thing is that the more we dig, to your point, we arrive at these stunning realizations of what we've become as society. And there is just truly a spiritual war in effect. We have the satanic church that's now setting up a satanic church after school program. And it's up in Ohio. And we have had in Ohio, we've had the satanic church set up a nativity scene right on the backside of the Christian nativity scene. And that said, the satanic nativity scene is set in inverted commas. It's a joke, but that's what they've done. We've seen this more and more come forward in terms of a true spiritual war with the boldness of what people are believing and their deep connections to this Luciferian order, which we have theorized and we've shown evidence to show that it's there, but there is no longer any hiding it. There, it's literally truth to light. And in that sense, as is said in scripture, I mean, all things will be exposed, all things are brought to light. And I think that's a very, very profound statement that we're witnessing all right now. But when we see our fellow people, our fellow citizens willing to turn on each other, the common thread to all of this is the loss of teachings of scriptural foundations in our nation. Our founding fathers were very clear that we are a nation that was intended to be a nation of believers, and that's in their own writings. And in the fact, I always go back to the Declaration of Independence, which I feel is our real true document of foundation in this nation, when it gives us our unalienable rights and it establishes God on the throne, we create a very interesting government that I don't think we've really considered. And I do talk a lot about this. And that is this: we have established God on the throne above all things in this nation, which makes us a theological monarchy before we are a representative republic. And that structure is laid out very clearly in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, with God on the throne above all of us, and that we are then subordinate to him, and government is subordinate to the people. We are all accountable and subordinate to God. And then with that, we are given the tasking that if that is to fall apart and we are needing to find a new direction of how we seek to manage ourselves under the throne, we are given the right, not only the right, but the duty to overthrow and throw off such government. That's a tyranny. That whole concept of ownership and the importance of relationship with God has been very effectively and strategically stripped from our schools, from our government. It's stripped from our form of thinking of how this government is. In fact, the war that's been waged over 200 years on the Declaration of Independence alone is stunning, because the legal community that has been driving this idea that somehow the Declaration of Independence is separate, it's just some sort of piece of paper, not part of our founding documents, which is completely false. It is the founding base of how we are to be in this nation. So when we begin to look at that war that's being waged on the importance of separating out God, I think one has to ask a simple question. Why has it been so important to separate God from our lives, to take God out of schools? Instead of having God to be fundamental in our nation where we are subordinate to him, we've now cast a relationship to God off onto the side ditch, and it's just some sort of little cult, the Christian cult, that crazy group of people, when in fact our founding fathers were believers. Yes, they were part of a Masonic order. We can get into that rabbit hole if you want to, but they were all believers. And that's a critical component. Even when we talk of pain and common sense, his retort to the church was based on his frustration with the Catholic Church waging wars. He saw it. That wasn't what he saw as true faith. And I agree with that. So today we've arrived at a point where God has been moved so far away that people are literally wandering in an agnostic space. And they have turned their will and trust over to a government, not into the foundations of ethics, beliefs, and faith in God. They're seeing by their eyes, not seeing by faith as we should be. And in so doing, they become the perfect malleable subject, once God is out of the way, to shape them with the evils and the deceit that only tyrannies can do. And in that sense, you're seeing through that the true corruption of their hearts and this distortion of their ways of going, because of the fact that they are so consumed with their, quote, savior, loosely put, in government rather than their savior through salvation in Christ.
I think that's absolutely 100% correct. And I think it's a international criminal banker's trick to subjugate a population. They've done this so many times, and they've done a great job of it. It's really the Communist Manifesto rolling out in our own schools, in the town squares. And you're right. They're trying to subjugate this country. And it's no wonder that those people in that poll worship at the altar of Big Daddy government, because I think a grand majority of those people, certainly the Democrats, have removed God from their lives. And so if you don't put God first, and if you don't understand that our rights are inalienable and our rights were given to us, we're born with our rights are given to us by God. So no government can take away those rights. If you don't understand that basic thesis, then what protection do you have when they come knocking on your door and mandate a vaccine, right?
I fully agree, Sean. I mean, this is that slippery slope. And so with that, one of the things they've done so masterfully in the last 18 months to 2 years is this psychosis of fear. Because without having a relationship with God and understanding, which in some versions of the Bible is stated over 355 times, which is fear not. And it's not there by accident, because fear is one of the most corrupting agents in our entire existence. It separates us from the trust in God. It consumes us with imaginary things in our head. And in that overload of fear, they have literally dosed the public so deeply without a relationship in God, without a trust in him to guide them. They have fallen to the trap of this fear psychosis, and which literally has caused a cognitive snap in the public, to where they have accepted this idea that the fear paradigm is the new normal. That is the new real. And they have now become blinded by their own fear. It's unbelievable when we frame things this way, how scriptural the historical part of the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, how scriptural our current day is.
Well, I would say this about these polls. Rasmussen is actually a fairly reliable pollster, I think, but so many of these polls are just BS. We saw that moving into the election. Biden front runner over Trump. Despite Trump filling stadiums, Biden couldn't get anybody to show up at a school gym. So I think the polls are all nonsense. And, if they're saying Biden right now has a 33% approval rating, I bet it's closer to 23%. And I guess the point I want to make is, as it pertains to information like that we just shared, that Rasmussen poll, I would be kind of petrified if I actually believed that Joseph Biden got 80 million or 83 million votes, the most of any president in the history of our country, and he actually had a mandate. The opposite is true. The election was stolen. Okay, they call it the big lie. We call it the big steal. And the fact of the matter is, I think there's a lot more people in this country that believe in the ideals that you and I hold and cherish, which is family first, God first, Christian ideals, country first, That's the good news, I think. And in a second, I want to share this other piece of good news, which I still haven't shared yet. But your thoughts on that? I don't believe any of these polls. And I think there's a lot more people like you and me in this country than the mainstream media would have us believe.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And I would completely agree. When the kind of dissertation I just gave on this perspective is on a broader effect of the of what we've seen in a culture consumed by fear. But the other part about these polls, from an information warfare point of view, is they are done very intentionally to continue to persuade regardless of fact. The thing about pollsters is when we have to look at the number of people polled.
Right.
One of the things that we talked about earlier about Twitter and what it, the fact that once bumped off, there was a community there that was pretty intense and it was very active and alive when it was functioning as an information sharing hub. One of the things that we could do, as you know, is to run a poll. And I ran many of them, and the sampling rates were unbelievable because we were looking at responders sometimes as high as 20 or 30,000 or more on a single poll. Now, if you're talking to a pollster, they're going to say that that's unscientific because it doesn't represent a specific demographic profile or algorithm in which they've created. Arguably, the Twitter polls are far more are indicative of the true sense of where we are. These poll sampling rates are very typically 500 and 1200. And I don't know what the Rasmussen poll was on those, but that's a very important point. And they, it depends on where they're calling. It depends on who they're calling. And the other part about it is many times people are giving false positives anyway, because they don't like pollsters in this day and age. The biggest concern I have when I see a Rasmussen poll like that is not whether the poll itself is true. It's the fact that that's the narrative that they're trying to set in people's minds. And if people believe the poll, then that reality is manifested because people believe the numbers and accept it rather than pushing back on it. And that's ultimately one of the biggest tricks to persuading people how to vote. It's also persuading people how to act in society.
Yeah, well said. I wish I had it in front of me, but what's that Hollywood actress's name that used to be on the show with Tony Danza? And she's pretty unpopular, but she put out a tweet basically asking how many people plan to vaccinate their kids when the vaccine yes. became available. And she got crushed. She right. was destroyed. I mean, it was like 95% against. I would never give my kid this jab. So again, it's just an example. Oh, Alyssa Milano, that's her name. And so I think we're really close to a tipping point here. And so here's the good news. And you tell me if you think this is true. The mainstream media, the whore media, would have us believe that the people have no power, and that we all must bow to Big Daddy government and Big Pharma. Now, you're seeing protests all over the world of people that are waking up, and they may not be able to use the phrase the fourth industrial revolution. They may not know who Klaus Schwab is. They may not know he wrote a book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset, but they know that vaccine passports are bad, and they're sick of all of this stuff. Now, England has just ended all COVID passports. This happened on Wednesday, guys. Mask mandates and work restrictions. Epoch Times reporting the same thing. Here's Boris the crazy hair Johnson. Let's listen to this and we'll talk about it.
We can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Organizations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England. Yeah. From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home. Yeah. And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow, we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people. No longer criminalize anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes. And my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, as we return to Plan A, the House will know that some measures still remain, including those on self-isolation.
Scott, I'm coming back to you. Your thoughts on any of that? Where do we stand with this?
Well, I first of all, I want to say I do agree with you that the pressure and the awakening of the people is spurring this change in direction. And it's a very important thing to celebrate and to hold on to. My caution that I have, and this comes from my perspective, and Sean, you and I may not agree with this, and I respect that, but I just want to say that I go back to the Fourth Industrial Revolution because that's at its core. My concern right now, when we start to look at what just happened in Operation Warp Speed and all that has happened across this nation, especially with the Pfizer CEO coming out and saying we're going to be back to normal or COVID's going to be over in 2 months, I'm looking at the mechanics of what's been accomplished, not for us, but for them. People have become deeply awakened as to the greater agenda. And we have the Fauci evil man, the bag man being thrown up front, which I'm seeing more and more like a sacrificial lamb to keep our eyes off of what's going on behind the scenes. And we are seeing world leaders making a pivot to appease the people. But my concern is just as what happened with the new Virginia governor, with 11 EOs that come into place, there's a number of things there that need to be unpacked and really looked at realistically about what we're getting. His 11th EO is about reduce or eliminating the vax mandate. That's what it says, but in function, that's not what it does. In function, the only group of people that don't have a mandate are the executive class, his group of people that are now taking over office. Everyone else is still subject to the vax mandate if corporations choose to impose it or if other branches of government continue to do it. So there's a bit of sleight of hand going on here. And there is, as I've said from the beginning, the vax mandate issue is a big one because when we're not talking about removing the vax, we're not talking about getting to the core problem. So in the midst of all of this, as we're talking about no mandates, what no mandate is saying is, for example, no vax mandate. It's a pivot to say we can still produce this type of vaccine, these types of mRNA-based injections. We can incorporate that nanotech in all of our new line of medicine. That's fundamental to the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So the pivot has been made. And in my theory, from what I've come together with my own research, what it's showing is that they've created the infrastructure bill that they need to now launch the Fourth Industrial Revolution. 5G has rolled out massively since COVID and the COVID lockdowns. In fact, we've learned now that the 5G towers are 6G capable, and 6G hasn't formally been, the standards for 6G haven't been established yet. Meta, with the renaming of Facebook, has rolled out, and their partnership with Google and Sony, it's a big deal because Meta is their new direction, and Metaverse is critical to the Fourth Industrial Revolution. CRISPR technology, which was resisted by the evangelical movement, has now been accepted as part of a necessary for this new age of vaccines, and CRISPR technology is obviously the ability to edit genes. So my concern right now is if we are not careful and we celebrate too much, we're going to miss the greater threat, which is that these people are not stupid. They're limited sometimes in their dynamics of how they approach a fight, but they're doing a narrative shift right now to appease the people, soften this a bit, and extend the timeline for an intentional rollout still of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which leads to transhumanism. And that is the ultimately, as I've worked within some of these labs, I've worked around the levels of government, I will tell you the most disturbing part is transhumanism is seen as a great thing. And it's the challenge that we're having right now is that people are beginning to accept it by virtue of the fact that we've had to deal with this crisis and the only way through it now is to hybridize humankind. Those are my bigger concerns with what we're seeing.
Yeah, we don't disagree at all. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you just said there at all, because I agree with you. The plan is going to continue to move forward. Bill Gates is not going to change his attitudes about overpopulation that he believes exists just because people are starting to get a little pissed off all over the world. As we round out this conversation, maybe we should just talk a little bit about the vision for humanity that these Satanists have, because I've come to the conclusion that they are Satanists. At the very least, they're atheists. But I think a lot of these people that traffic in children, that visited Epstein Island, that were on the flight logs, are Satanists. That's my view. I think a lot of these people in positions of high power, PMs, health ministers, they're beholden to the satanic cabal above them, which kind of gets me back to the international criminal banksters. What do you think is the vision for humanity under the fourth industrial revolution and Klaus Schwab's Great Reset?
Well, I think we have, it's a shared vision by what I've referred to more and more these days as a fight between two elite factions. We have one faction, which I'm loosely calling the Illuminati, and the other faction, which I'm loosely referring to as American Masons. And those two lines are, in the end, they all agree on some interesting things. If you watch the data, they agree that humanity needs to transition to this hybridized existence, ultimately being merged into in such a way that you can't distinguish between the biological and the technological. That is a common theme that's being held. And with that, there's also a common theme that's held, which is that the elderly need to be expunged. That there, and this is you look at that through the lens of who's always, they may say they don't want children to be injected, but all of them agree that the elderly need to be injected. Part of that links to the collapse of Social Security, which is on target to completely be a dead cat on arrival by 2028. So there is those common themes. Where there seems to be the real difference in this war with them is how we treat children and the critical issue of free will. The extremist side wants to mandate and force people into an enslavement. The more moderate side wants to give people the choice of whether they want to be this hybridized human or whether they want to be a traditional low-grade human, like human 1.0 versus human 2.0. And the problem with that concept of free will is that those two sides aren't going to coexist well. It's a divide and conquer strategy right there. So when we look at the long term, the biggest fight for me is literally those that seek to retain humanity versus all of those that are pushing for this modernization. It's literally not a clean fight, because there's many people that are jumping on board on this elite model of wanting to hybridize the human race and racing after these technologies, not looking at the consequences of what that's going to do. We as humanity have to make a solid choice. Are we going to walk as humanity, as children of God, and embrace all of those things that we are given, which we have yet even to be able to discover, but they're within us? Or are we going to live within this meta world of binary, of zeros and ones, where everything is some form of a digital fiction that we are now going to find somehow our new great enlightenment and our capabilities through a controlled AI network? And that's really where I think the division point is, because in the end, the elites want everybody encapsulated in some form of a meta world, that metaverse, to where they can control and manipulate reality. They can anticipate crime through future crimes. They can affect people's behavior. It's just a matter of how fast we get there, or whether humanity makes a hard stand and says no.
Oh boy. Aldous Huxley, A Brave New World, in George Orwell's 1984. I don't know. They could have only dreamt of where we'd be in 2022. Can't believe it's 2022. That blows my mind.
it's so true. And those books are perfect. Let us not forget Fahrenheit 451 either. That's another good one.
Yeah, that's right. Let's burn all the books. Good job, YouTube. That's essentially what they did to my business on YouTube. They just burned it down like a digital Antifa. So thanks so much, Susan Wojcicki, you fascist witch.
So true. I'm telling you. I have to tell you, Sean, the other day, I almost laughed when they suspended the account again, because I basically pop over there once in a while on YouTube now to try to encourage people to get off. But they still let me have the account, but it's every time. It's like, it was, like I said, a faith show. And you're like, okay, now you're suspending me for this. Okay, good. Here we go. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I should have wised up long before getting booted off of YouTube. And I should have just used it as a platform to say, hey guys, I posted my new video on BitChute and Rumble. Here's the link. And that's it. Cause they can't kick you off for that. But if you want to talk about protecting children from pedophiles, if you want to talk about spiritual content relating to Lil Nas X promoting Luciferian ideals in his videos to children, well, you don't get to stay on YouTube if you're that kind of thinker.
And no, you know,
especially if you're not pro-vax. By the way, when I went on my rant earlier about all the great people we have on our side, we also have Joe Rogan on the side of truth. So he's really made the decision to go there as it pertains to this subject, which is so important because, you know, I've interviewed Todd Callender now three times, the attorney, and he says, I don't have it in front of me, but there is Supreme Court legal precedent that will allow these corporations to claim that they're the patent holders of human beings once they have changed you on a DNA basis with this quote unquote vaccine.
Yes. I've talked about this a lot and you're absolutely right, Sean. This is one of the little strange twists that go into this thing that I'll just throw out here. There's a lot of fear being wrapped around what's going to happen to the vaxxers, the unvaxxed, or the those that did not take the injection. And it's kind of ironic because one of the things about this fight is it's very legalistic. If we watch how they're approaching things, they're going through the courts. But the one thing that can't be disputed is there is one class of people that have lost their rights, that can have boosters mandated without their choice. They can be rounded up. They can be legally put into camps because they are no longer free. They're owned by a corporation. And what group is that? That's the people that took the injection. They have had their genes modified with this mRNA, which MIT has now very recently proven that the mRNA merges into the DNA and modifies your DNA. Therefore, by definition, they are a GMO. And with that, they literally have lost all ownership of who they are.
What can anybody even say after that? Because it is just scary. And our friends, neighbors, and colleagues, they don't know this. So many of our neighbors, they can't speak this language. The concepts we've discussed here, the language we've used, they're not equipped to even have the conversation. So when Ephesians tells us, lay aside falsehood and speak truth to your neighbor, they just look at you like a sheep. They don't have any idea what you're talking about. And they think you're crazy. That's where we are in 2022.
Well, Sean, if I may, there was a great quote made by the Irish Prime Minister in 2019 when he met with President Trump. And his comment was, never will so many ask so much from so few. And I've kept that before me since then. And it's what I know you and I share this. The pursuit of truth never stops. And the hope and prayers that they will resonate with people. I truly believe we're coming to a point when things, however people want to phrase this, you can say that this is going to be God's hand. You can just look at the mechanics of the system, but the Great Awakening and the system of the old are in a complete clash. And in the end, truth is going to prevail and it's going to shatter and destroy this entire system. And I think it will be a complete and total destruction. I think many of the elite that we've become accustomed to are going to lose everything. And it's a very important point because that will leave many wandering. It's not that we don't have problems to deal with because there's going to be a great deal of consequence that we have to confront. But at the same time, never before have we faced a point where our faith, our truth, our love and respect for our fellow man will be so important. Because in spite of their fears, their angers, we have to be the guides to lead them literally to the light, to keep them away from the dark paths of vengeance while we try to get them into a place where they can be spiritually reclaimed and spiritually healed.
Very well said. And as we part ways here, it just reminds me, and of course, these people I just mentioned, a lot of our friends, neighbors, and colleagues, they don't know that there's a war being waged against them by what Archbishop Vigano warned in his letter to President Donald Trump, were the children of darkness. That's the phrase he used. War is being waged against humanity by the children of darkness. And that's what we have to try to help to get these people to understand. Our guest has been Scott Kesterson, Bards of War. Bards.fm is maybe the best place to find his content. Where else can people find you, Scott?
Also on my website, which is bardsfm.com. I'm fairly limited on just those platforms at this point, Sean, but great following. And I just want to thank you today for the opportunity of being here. What a pleasure and what an honor.
The pleasure is absolutely all mine. And now that we're officially friends, I sure hope you would come on again in the future.
Absolutely. And you're welcome on my show, Sean. Let's talk about that as well.
Okay. Thank you. Friends, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. And I guess I'd remind you again, as I do every time, for real news every single day for free, you guys can check us out directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote, the cure to corporate propaganda and mockingbird mainstream media lies. Oh, and one more thing. For a limited time right now, you can save $50 off every four-week emergency food kit you purchase from preparewithsgtreport.com. That's the highest quality storable foods you can get from our friends over at My Patriot Supply. Again, save $50 off every four-week emergency food kit you buy. They want us broke and they want us hungry. So get your storable foods with free shipping and handling included right now. That's preparewithsgtreport.com. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
And then it drops down to zero. And the zero upregulation are two groups, the Amish.
The Amish. Now, my thesis is that the Amish do not participate in vaccine programs. And the Amish certainly don't send in their DNA for sampling to companies like 23andMe. Just a thought. But what's the other group?
And the zero upregulation are two groups, the Amish and the Ashkenazi Jews. There it is. I mean, I'm throwing that out. You can just, that's the fact.